Good evening. Welcome to our service here at Forest Fold. Welcome too if you're joining online. And it's good to be together. Do stay afterwards for tea and coffee in the hall. It would be good to chat together and spend that time. Well, we are going to listen to these words from Hebrews. This is what it says. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. We're so privileged to have God's word in its completeness. In days gone by, the writer says to the Hebrews, God spoke through the prophets, and that was a privilege to have God's word through the prophets. But now in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. And so in one book, we have God's word to us, complete, full, and it's a great privilege for us to have it. And we're thinking this evening, really, how much do we value what we can hold, what we can read in our own language, which is called God's word. So a lot to be thinking about this evening. Well, let's stand and sing our first song, a song of thanksgiving, a song of praise. Prayer, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided. Let's stand and sing. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege it is for us to meet together this evening. Thank you that we have your word, without which we would be completely ignorant of you. We would know nothing of you. And we thank you this evening for your word. We thank you that it is breathed out by God himself. It is the living word. It is the bread of life that we need more than our daily food. Lord, we thank you that your word is powerful. It is living. It cuts deep into our hearts and our thoughts. It finds us out. It condemns us. But it also gives us hope. It tells us of salvation, of the mercy and grace of God. Lord, we thank you. Your word is a lamp to our feet. It is a light to our path. And though in our frailty we pass away so quick, yet your word endures forever. We thank you for the comfort and the guidance and the correction that we find in your word. Oh Lord, help us to treasure what we have. Thank you for men who in the past laid down their lives so that we could have our own Bibles in a language we can understand. We thank you too, further back than that, for men who devoted their lives to scribing, to writing out clearly and accurately your word. Thank you for preserving it through all the attacks that have come against it. Your word has been preserved like nothing else. So Lord, we thank you for it. And as we think about this evening, how we treasure your word and what part it plays in our life, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be open in our thoughts and our minds, to be changed by your word, to love it once again. Lord, we come under the authority of your word and we surrender our opinions if they're not in line with it. We give up what our culture says that goes against your word and we choose your word instead because it is the truth. It is from our Creator and we praise you for it. Amen. Well, Tom's going to come and give us our first reading. Thanks, Tom.
Our first reading this evening is Psalm 19. That will be on page 456 in the church Bibles. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to all the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom, leaving his chamber, and like a strong man, runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servants also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless, the innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the mediation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That last line ties in well with our next hymn, which is, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So do stand when the music starts.
Together, let's pray. May all my days bring glory to your name. Oh Lord, that is our desire. If we're following you, if we have experienced something of the power of Jesus to change our lives, if we have been receivers of his grace and his mercy, coming to find us when we were lost, giving us life when we were dead, and has raised us up together with him, then, Lord, we are the most blessed people. And it is our desire that all our days will bring you glory. In the things that we think, in the things that we say, in the things that we do, in our ambitions for the remaining years of our lives, Lord, may we praise you. May we bless you. May we bless others with the light of the gospel too in this dark world. But, Lord, we just praise you for Jesus. And we, this evening, as we meet in prayer towards you, we want to lift up the name of Jesus and place it in the highest place. We know it's already there, but we just want to do it again. Because in our hearts, it's not always in the highest place. He doesn't always sit on the throne of our hearts with our full surrender. And we come and we bow and we say sorry for that. We want to repent of that. We want to turn away from all that robs you of your rightful place over our heart. And we want him to reign supreme. We want him to be our vision as we sung this morning. We want to be convicted and certain of our choice to follow God and be on his side as we thought this morning. For too long, maybe we've sat on the fence with that and been indecisive and wanting a bit longer, but Lord, we pray that we'll be drawn into your kingdom by your grace. If we're still outside, if we're still seeking, help us seek with all of our hearts. If we're indifferent and careless, show us the fragility of life. We've been horrified this last week, Lord, to see the video footage of people's lives just being helplessly brought to an end, to tragic events in Nepal. Lord, it humbles us and realizes how fragile we are. Even if we don't live in a floodplain, we know that our health and our lives are held on by a heartbeat. We're a heartbeat away from meeting our Creator. What a thought that is. And should we not be ready to meet him after hearing the gospel so many times? What a thought that is. And so, Lord, if we're not ready to meet you face to face, which one day we will do, and your word says that our lips, even though they may be against you still, we'll have to admit that you, Jesus Christ, is Lord, and our knees will willingly bow before him if they never have done before. And so, Lord, help us seek you while you may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Because today is the day of salvation, and there is salvation in no one else but Jesus Christ. And as that message goes across the world today, in this dark world, Lord, with your Spirit, move powerfully to convict people of their need of Jesus. We thank you that the gospel doesn't leave us in the pit of our sin and our despair, but it gives us wonderful hope, new life through Jesus. So we praise you this evening for him. Lord, we do just commit these poor folk to you in Nepal. We pray for those who are working day and night to try and find rescue people. We pray you'll give them success in that. Lord, how sad, how desperately sad. And our heart goes out to them, and we just pray, Lord, for those who are grieving, that you'll comfort them. We pray for Christians in that area that something of the gospel might come their way, that will give them hope in their hopeless situation. Lord, we know that it's not an isolated event, but throughout the world, we live in a suffering world with so much that is dark, so much that is sad. And we just long for the light of the gospel to bring sense to it, to bring hope in it, to bring relief to those who suffer. We pray for those who are tangled up in the darkness of false religion that has enslaved them, to live a life or try to live a life that might one day be acceptable. Lord, I pray that the gospel will be preached and heard and that people will see the freedom that comes through Jesus and that eternal life begins now based on grace, not on our good works. So to that end, we pray for every missionary, every preacher, on every street corner, on every underground church, in every small church, in every large church, those who preach the gospel faithfully, Lord, work mightily in these days by your Holy Spirit. Bring many into your kingdom. And here we are placed in this small part of the world. We shine the light out from this place too. We pray that many will hear the gospel and be saved. Help us not to be discouraged, but to have patience like the farmer who waits for the good seed to come to life. Lord, we pray that you'll send out those more of those to preach your word to others throughout our land and beyond. We commit this country to you. We have been blessed with so many privileges and we have discarded as many of them as we possibly could. We are ripe for your judgment and your wrath upon us, but we pray for your mercy. We pray for those who are in government passing laws. We pray for wisdom to be given to them. We pray for a heart change where we see things going so dark and focused on death and dying. And Lord, we want to preserve life. We pray that those who make these big decisions, they too will want to preserve life. But Lord, we know that in their hearts there needs to be a change, because that is the result of a godless way of thinking. So Lord, we pray for your mercy upon this land. Once again, you will bless us, that you will revive us, that you will truly make us a Christian country. But Lord, on the other hand, we know that the days are getting worse, as your word says, that false teachers will arise. Things towards the end will become worse, not better, as a general rule. But Lord, in these days, we pray that many still will be saved. Lord, we pray further afield, and we think of those who are on the front line of gospel work and suffering for their faith in a real way. Lord, we ask that you will comfort those who are bereaved, that you will be a companion to those who've been locked up in solitary confinement, for those who have been falsely accused and imprisoned, for those who've been given the option to recant and convert to perhaps Islam or be killed, given that option. What a torment of the mind. And yet we pray that their love for you will overpower them and help them to remain faithful to the end, knowing that this life is not our life, knowing that this world is not our home, but to be with you forever is worth everything. Help us to have that mindset in our comfortable lives in this part of the world. Help us not to hold this world with a grasp that won't let go. Help us to be looking for the day of the Lord's return. Lord, we pray that you will come soon. Lord, we long to be free from this life of our sin and our weakness. We long to live by sight, not by faith anymore, when we'll see you as you are. What a day that will be. Help us to live our current lives in the light of your return, that we'll be more urgent in spreading the gospel to others, that we'll be more heaven-focused than earth-focused, so that we truly will be earthly good to others. Lord, help us in our daily lives. And with our daily lives come struggles, disappointments, loneliness, sadness. Lord, help us in all the experiences that we face this coming week. We thank you that the future is not known to us. But we may also fear what's ahead this week, this month. But when we know that Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow with his problems, large and small. We'll trust the God of miracles, give to him our all. Lord, help us do that this week. We pray again, as we did this morning, for our children and young people going back to school, to college, to perhaps university, those who are starting big new things in their lives. Oh, Lord, be with them and help them. Help those who are young Christians to nail their colours to the mast early on. Pray that they will know your presence, even if others forsake them. That's a great blessing to feel that when others are against you, to know that the Lord is with you. And I pray that people who are going through that will experience that. Lord, bless each one here. You know all of our needs. Lord, help us. We're all work in progress, and we are sometimes discouraged by our failure, by our slowness to learn. But help us, we pray. Help us this week. Help us to be conquerors through Jesus Christ. We are, but in our daily lives we fail. We want to bring honour to Jesus. We want people to look at us and see something of him, not to our praise, but to his glory. And so, Lord, forgive us where we've painted a bad picture of Jesus, where we've brought dishonour to his name. And Lord, help us, we pray, to be faithful and true to you. Amen. Well, we've got a few more verses to read, and we're in Psalm 119, and that's on page 512 of the Church Bible. We're just going to read the first 16 verses, 512, Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Well, John's going to be preaching from some of those verses after we've sung our next song. We're going to stand and sing this song that we often sing before a sermon. It's a prayer that God will speak to us as we read his word, as we think about it together. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Let's stand and sing.
Your truth. Psalm 119 is a great psalm. It's a psalm of great length. Maybe you know that. It tops all the others in terms of how long it is, 176 verses. But it's great in content. It's one of my favourite psalms. It's all about God's word, as we've heard. It's all about the Bible as we have it now. And I want to speak on one section this evening. It's the second section. So we're in verses 9 to 16. It will help if you've got it open in front of you, book form, app form, some form. And it starts addressed to young people. I think this is probably the reason why I was drawn to it. We had so many young people here last Sunday morning especially. But in so many of our services, we have so many young people, and it is so, so good and so encouraging, and we're so pleased. And I think that made me think this was a good psalm to be on. Perhaps some young people find that they had a good summer, and I'm hoping that this section, this part of this psalm, will be a boost, an encouragement as you head off out of the summer, perhaps into more normal life. It starts like this. How can a young man or a young person keep his way pure? How can a young person go on well, we might say? How can they go forward in a good and a pure way? Purity may make us think of sexual lifestyle. It often does in the Bible. Paul talks to Timothy about purity, and he's putting that slant on it, to be sexually pure, to make good decisions in relation to those things, to show self-control in what we do and what we think and what we look at. But pure as well can be broader than that. It's a life pleasing to God, free from lies, free from greed, free from idolatry. So, young people, it's great to have you here this evening. And I hope that this is going to be a helpful section to you in the weeks and months and years ahead. It starts off with young people. But I was listening to somebody speak on this passage as the week went on, and he had three sons. And he said he spent the first 16 years of their lives hoping they wouldn't do anything stupid, because he said sons often can do things that are stupid. And then he realized that he was just as in danger himself of doing something stupid. And he was at the age of 60. So, some of us are nearer 60 than we are 16. And it's still a good psalm for us, because we can still do silly things and we still need the encouragement to go on in the direction that this psalm gives. Well, what is the key? What is the key thing in going forward and in making choices in our life? Well, a key thing, there'll be a number of key things, but a key thing, especially according to this section and to this chapter, is God's word. Is God's word. The whole section, the whole psalm, is about God's word. Just see it in this section. That's why I say it'd be good to have it open. Can you see things that relate to God's word in this section? Scan your eyes. And in verse 9 it says, your word. And in verse 10 it says, your commandments. And in verse 11 it says, your word. And verse 12 it says, your statutes. And so you could go through this section. All of the verses in this section have something to do with God's word. And in fact, if you were to go through the whole psalm, 176 verses, virtually all of them refer to God's word. To God's word. God's word is so central to making the right choices. But let's go a bit further. It's about God's word and me, or God's word and you. It is a personal section. It's a personal section. It's about how I relate to God's word. Have a look down it and look for the I's and the me's and the my's. The I's, the me's and the my's. Verse 9. We don't have one. Verse 10. I seek you. Verse 11. I have stored my heart. Teach me. Verse 13. I. My. 14. I. 15. I. 16. I. Twice. I. So you see, it is about how we relate to God's word. So God's word and me is the title. You might have thought it was a bit strange, perhaps a little bit twee or something. God's word and me. But you can see that that's what this section is about. God's word and how it relates to me. That's a vital aspect of going forward. So can I just ask at the outset, what's your attitude to God's word? How much is it part of your life? How much do you want it to be part of your life? Do you realise it's key to the future going well? Which is quite handy from that point of view, isn't it? Bible pathway forward. Well, we're going to explore it in this section. And as I was looking at myself earlier in the week, I noticed the different parts of the person that are referred to. If you like, the different parts of his body that he wants involved with God's word. I'm going to read the passage through again. Look out for them and have a few shout them out at the end. Look for things, different parts of the body which are either directly referred to or implied. I'll read the section again. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So let's have a few. What did you notice? Heart. Thank you.
Lips.
Eyes.
Mouth.
Memory. That's right. Some of the more indirect ones. Any other more indirect ones? Mind. Emotions. Wisdom.
Feet.
Right. Good. Okay, it's getting us thinking. And we're going to go look at some of these, but I want to say one thing extra before we do. And this is going to be helpful to follow it through. It links in with what John said at the outset, actually. So God's word means the Bible. But it's not just his commands, it includes those. It's his whole message to us. And for us, in New Testament times, that includes all that we're told about Jesus, who he is, and what he has done. So when we're thinking of God's word, we're not only thinking of commands, we are thinking of that, but we're thinking the whole revelation of God's wonderful truth, his character, and what he's done in Christ. If we were to give a New Testament beam of light, zoom, coming back to Psalm 119, and this section in particular, I think it could be Colossians 3:16, which says this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So just remember that as we go through the whole of God's truth, including the supreme revelation of himself in these last days through his Son, as we heard in Hebrews 1. So we're going to go through some of these different parts, and I'm hoping it will help us to think and to pray, really, about God's word and us. And I picked out six, so we won't be able to spend long on each of them. And I also got a particular end note that we're going to come to. So here's the first one. I'll put it like this. May I have your word, may I have your word guiding my feet. May I have your word, it's a prayer really, may I have your word guiding my feet. Somebody said feet. The word's not there, but it's implied. You have the words ways several times in the section, thinking of a pathway that people go. Verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can I go down pure street? Yeah, how can I go down pure street? He feels the temptation to go elsewhere. And so many of us, there is a strong inner urge sometimes to do something or to look at something, to think about something, to act in a way which isn't right and pure. The temptation is on and he's wanting to go down pure street. He's wanting to go God's route as he goes forward. It comes out in verse 10, second half, but it reads, with my whole heart I seek you, let me not wander from your commandments. Let me not wander from your commandments. I want to stay on the right road. I want my feet to go on the right path. And it could be, very literally, there are places where it's no good to go to. If you're wanting to stay pure, you can probably think of certain places that are not going to help you. So you may literally not go there with your feet. It may be as clear and as plain as that. But he's talking particularly about a way of life. The closing song we're going to have is, oh, that the Lord would guide my ways. It's talking about life's choices. Relationships, activities, the friends that I keep, the things that I do, the direction I head in. Lord, keep my feet on a good path. On the path of your word. Sent me to Proverbs, great book of wisdom, next book in the Bible. Proverbs 1, you have this. Again, this is has a youth side to it. He's talking to his son, says verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Don't go along with them. If they say, come with us. So he's picturing being urged to do something that he knows is wrong, but the pressure is on, the peer pressure is there. He feels as though it's a very attractive thing. Maybe it looks silly if he doesn't go. Verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. Don't let me go astray. Keep me on the good path. It made me think of 10-pin bowling. You know, when you go 10-pin bowling, and if you or one of your team are not used to doing it very often, and the ball tends to sort of swerve to the left or the right, then you have the option of putting up these barriers, don't you, down the sides. And it's very nice because your ball can't wander off and you can do as bad a shot as you like and you'll still knock some pins down. And it's almost as though he's saying, Lord, just hem me in, guide me to stay on your path, keep my feet along the pathway of your word. So can you pray verse 10? With my whole heart I seek you, Lord, let me not wander from your commandments. The second, I think, is perhaps most central of all. Lord, may your word be lodged in my heart. This is the heart one. Lodged in my heart. We've already seen it's a heart thing in verse 10. With my whole heart I seek you. But it especially comes out in verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's stored up, it's treasured, it's deep down in the heart. Lord, I have stored up your word in my heart. I don't know whether some of you in younger years, whether your parents played through the Steve Green cassettes as they were, or CDs or whatever. Maybe they're still going now. I have hidden your word, hidden your word, hidden your word in my heart. It's from this verse. It's God's word in your heart. At the hub of who you are, of what you believe, of what your values are, of what your ambitions are, in your character, is God's word in your heart. Some people have God's word on their T-shirts. That's very bold. I'm quite impressed when sometimes I see people and they've got a Bible verse on the front. Or maybe it's a sort of, you know, a pair, it's one on the front and it finishes off on the back. And I think it's a lot of courage to go around with a Bible verse on your T-shirt. But even more than that, we need God's word in our heart. We need God's word in our heart. The heart, it pumps, doesn't it, the blood all round the body. If you can get some, you know, some of the medicine down near the heart, that's what some of the procedures do, don't they? They get the medicine down near the heart, directly near the heart, and then it's quickly pumped all round the whole of the body. We need God's word, the centre of our being, deep down. And he wants it there because he sees God's word as so valuable. Verse 14, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. It's just so valuable, Lord. Treasure your word. Often treasured things are stored. Well, but if you've got jewels in your house, you know, they're not probably hanging by the front door with the keys or whatever, are they? You don't leave them in the shed. No, they're in somewhere central in the house. Maybe they're tucked up in some wardrobe. Maybe they're in a safe if you've got a very expensive things. They're worth a lot, so they're in the centre and they're deep down. And he says, your word and all that it reveals about you and my way of life is so valuable. I want it pumping at the centre of me. Colossians 3:16 again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Oh Lord, help me to have your word deep down. And then some of the things we go on to will help with that. We see thirdly, he's really asking, Lord, may your word be going in my ears. May your word be going in my ears. So ears is not mentioned, but it's behind this phrase, isn't it, really, in verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Teach me your statutes. And being taught usually involves listening, doesn't it? Usually involves listening. I heard of somebody talking about learning on the job recently, and they said, I want to be a sponge. That's a good phrase. I want to absorb it all. I want to take everything. I want to take in all the information I can. Well, that's a good attitude when we come to God's word. I want to be a sponge. I want to be taught. I want to take it in. And this phrase comes up lots of times. If you were to scan through or even read meditatively through Psalm 119 11 times, I think you'd come across this. Teach me, teach me, teach me. We need God's word to go in. We need it to go in our ears. We need to understand it. We need to hear it. We had the privilege a good number of years ago of having a lot of Dutch teachers here for a prayer meeting one Thursday evening. There was a big group of them. They were learning English and they were over for a week. These were primary school teachers largely. And they joined us for the Thursday evening service. So I knew they were going to come. And so I picked up on that phrase, teach me. Really just saying that as you're teachers, but you need also to be taught. You need God's word to be teaching you. And many of them found the link really helpful. Maybe you're a teacher in normal life or in church life. We need this, don't we? Lord, teach me. May eyes, my ears be open as I expect those who I'm teaching to be open to what I say. Do you notice what motivates it? Why does he want to be taught God's word? This is very important. See how verse 12 starts. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. So he wants to be taught because he knows who God is. He loves God. He sees God as such a wonderful person. He sees God as blessed, the sort of fountain of life and wisdom and goodness and glory. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. And the more we realise how wonderful God is, the more we want his word to be taught to us and we'll be open to what it says. So do make the most of the opportunities you have to hear God's word taught. Teach me. Let your word be going in my ears. Moving on to the second half of the psalm. The next one I think is quite interesting. We're into verse 13 and we could say, Lord, let your word be on my lips. Somebody mentioned it, lips, verse 13. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. Are your lips ever involved with God's word? Do lips ever pass out of your mouth, we could say? How's this fit in? Why are lips significant in terms of God's word? I think one aspect is when you're saying things, it's often a sign of a strong inner conviction. It's more decisive to say something than just to think it. It's sometimes the next level. It's declaring definitely what you believe. You may be looking at somebody and think, I wonder what they're thinking. You know, I've got a sense of what their opinion is on this, not quite sure, but then they blurt it out. And you think, oh, now I know what they think. They're decisive. They've articulated what they are thinking. I wonder if this is part of it. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. I'm convicted by them, so I say them. And also, another aspect is as we speak, it almost reinforces the conviction. Perhaps that's why some people recite things. Puts it really deep down in them. And so as our lips are involved with God's word, as we, how's it work out? as we sing God's word together, as we out loud pray in line with God's word, as we share God's word with others and we actually say a Bible verse to somebody else, or we explain why we believe what we believe, or why we're thinking what we're thinking, when we say, well, it's because this is what it says in God's word, then we're making, strengthening our conviction about God's word. It may be in our lips. I mean, it could be expressed in other ways. It could be on the keypad. It could be in your text. It could be you put it on Instagram. But God's word, and you're making clear where you stand and that it's precious to you. Some of us are very quiet. It's partly because we're made that way. God makes us all different. But sometimes maybe we could do a bit more of this verse 13. It might help us going forward. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. We go down two verses to our next one. Lord, may your word be before my eyes, before my eyes. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Well, partly it can be literal. I will look at God's word. I will look at it. I will see it. I'll see it written. How much do you see God's word? How much of God's word actually sort of goes through the lenses? Is it ever in front of you as an open book by your own choice? Or an open app? I would encourage you in that. It's so helpful to have at least a little slot every day, get into a good pattern of having some of God's word open in front of you and your eyes to be on it. Jesus makes clear that what goes in through our eyes has a big impact. Yeah, the lamp of the body is the eye. Good goes in, the whole body is full of light, he says. But I think it's even more than just actually going through the lenses. It's an inner gaze. It's a focus. You see that from the way the verse starts. I will meditate on your precepts. That means I will consider. I will muse over. I will think over. I will mull over what your word says. The word really implies sort of bubbling. I was trying to think of an illustration. Long time since I've seen popcorn. But popcorn machines, so they sort of bubble up. You see them bubbling in the air. Is that right? I think. If not, you can think of something similar. Little table tennis balls being bubbled up by air. Bubbling around. And it's saying, really, that's what's in the mind. God's word is in there. And it's not just sort of dead and dull. And it's active. It's being thought through. It's being chewed over. It's being reflected on. It's thinking through how it affects our lives. I love the Lord. I love his word. This is what he said. It's such an encouragement to me. How often would you say in your free, if I can put your free thinking time, you know, when you're not being told what to think about you, you know, your free thinking time. How often in your free thinking time does what God's word come up? Sometimes when you go back to what you read in the morning, or you thought about what was said on Sunday, or your circumstance just sort of brings it up, the help of the Holy Spirit, meditating before my eyes, in my focus. And I think you'll find that there are ways to help that happen more if it's of interest to you. I think if there are ways in which you engage with God's word, it will happen more often. If you pick a verse maybe that you've read in the morning and write it down, or you highlight it, or you have an arrangement where you share something that struck you in God's word with a friend, or you write it in a diary, or you recite it yourself, or you have some mechanism that helps you to engage, I think you'll find, or you listen to it sung to. You know, sometimes you listen to a Christian song in the morning, and there it is, still bubbling later in the day. Look for ways for God's word to be living, bubbling in our focus. And then here's the last, before I tail off with a particular application. Committed to my memory. Verse 16, I will delight in your statutes, I will not forget your word. Reciting is not a bad thing, but I think it's also, it's wisdom stays with me. Wisdom stays with me. Some people learn parts of God's word. It can be helpful. We had a period many years ago when we went through some of Psalm 119, and there was a group of people that picked one verse from each section per week and tried to get it in their minds. It can be really helpful. Sometimes people, when they're younger, as part of Thrive, or maybe at home, they're learning things. It's good. It's also here, I think, a resolution of the will. In future, I want your word. It's good. It's what I want to live by. It's my determination. I want to remember. I want it to be in my memory so that I handle situations rightly in the future in the light of it. I will not forget your word. Now, this is rather odd, but I was just about to go to sleep last night. Lights were out, head on the pillow. Elephants came to mind. Elephants. So I had to get up and write elephants on a piece of paper so I didn't forget it. It sent me back to when I was working in a warehouse in stationery and greetings cards. And there used to be a brand of greeting cards called Elephants Never. I don't know if they're still around. I can't track them down now. Elephants Never was the brand of greeting cards. And I guess it was to get them more business. Elephants never forget is the phrase. So you don't forget anniversaries, you don't forget birthdays. Elephants never was the way in which it was presented. And I checked it this morning, and elephants actually have got a good memory. In fact, elephants have, did you know, elephants have the biggest brains of any land animals. And they do have a tremendous ability to remember environments and dangers. So there is some truth scientifically behind the phrase, elephants never forget. And in this way, we want to be like an elephant with God's word. To never forget it. To have God's word with you in all circumstances. They are able to remember environments and threats and dangers and people and take it with them to help them to avoid danger in future. Take God's word with you. Lord, help me to remember your word. And when I come into those situations, when I have people putting pressure on me, when my own heart is tempted to do something which I will greatly regret and which will dishonour you, Lord, don't let me forget your word. May it be in my memory bank. May it be at the forefront of my mind. May it be keeping me from the danger. It's referred to elsewhere in the Psalm. 141, for instance. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. 153. Look on me in my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. So when you're small compared with others, when times are hard, Lord, help me to remember your word. I want it close. I want it there. I want it keeping me from danger. So we have those six elements in there. You can see the way my mind went as I went through it in the week. Different parts of our response to God's word. But I want to finish on this note. You could say they're all very positive and they're all very definite and they're all very good. But I look back and I haven't always done this. I have forgotten God's word. I have wandered. Does this psalm ever realise that we fail, you could say? I've done wrong, even since the summer, I've done wrong. Is there any scope for this within the psalm? And we're darting to the very last verse just to finish. 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. We do wander off, and we have wandered off. And we can still pray. The word of Christ, which dwells in our heart richly, is the word of the gospel, the forgiving grace of God. There is scope in God's word for those who wander. And that encourages us as we come to the end of thinking about this psalm. We resolve and pray to go forward in the line of these different elements. But we thank God that he is a God of grace when we fail. There is a four-legged creature here in 176. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. I was reading just 2 days ago of a different four-legged creature, a border terrier, who vanished on Helvellyn in the Lake District, missing 3 weeks. Volunteers had been searching for Teddy since he went missing on England's third highest peak on the 2nd of August. Eventually, they tracked him down last Friday when they heard him barking from dry gill. The dog was transported down the mountain in a backpack before being assessed by a vet who found that he had lost a considerable lot of weight but was otherwise unharmed. The Keswick Mountain Rescue Team, which ran the operation, said it was a remarkable outcome. Well, the Lord is somebody who wonderfully brings back those who go astray. And that's a great comfort to us as we think of our relationship with God's word. And it's going to lead us on to our last song, because we're going to be singing a well-known song to finish, Oh That the Lord Would Guide My Ways. But in the build-up to this, actually through David, I ended up coming across another verse that we don't normally sing. And it picks up this note of God's restoration for when we go astray. And I think it rounds off the song better. So I just want to be sure that I forgot to check that it was in there. So we're just going to quickly go through the slides to check that we've got all the right ones and that we don't throw a googly David's way. So we've got, Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways. Then we've got, Oh, send your spirit down to right. And then we've got, From vanity, Lord, turn my eyes. And then we've got, Order my footsteps by your word. And then we've got, Oh, make me walk in your command. So we haven't got the extra, it's not in there, we haven't got an extra one tucked in there. Okay. Not sure how I can read it to you, but I'd like to have done more than that, but I'm not quite sure I can sort that out now. And I can't think of any other way of doing it. So let's... Yeah. So and what we'll do then is we'll sing this through, and as a closing prayer, I will say this extra verse. So let's stand to sing this one through.
Oh.
is the last verse, which I'll say as our closing prayer. Assist my soul too apt to stray, a stricter watch to keep, and should I ever forget your way, restore your wandering sheep. Amen.